guys. That's a big thanks to a lot of brothers and sisters over there in North River. That is their work. Really grateful for the work that those guys are doing there. I'm going to stop sharing the screen in a minute. And if you're going to stop sharing, we're going to go on with the message today. It's really grateful to get that good video and just loved it. Mark this morning, you guys. For the Mark, the Gospel of Mark, we're going to talk about rise to finish. We're talking about rise to finish. Amen. I know you've seen some familiar faces in North River. I've seen Jeff face. I've seen, I think her name is Niecy, one of the lead singers there. I remember she visited us one time here a while back. So it's just encouraging to see all the talent that we have here. Just in the kingdom, like, man, that's amazing. And that took a lot of work, a lot of brainstorm creativity to get all those people together, and they're playing from their homes. And I thought it was really amazing. If they went home, you could tell that somebody does sign language, that they're teaching their baby girl how to do that. And I thought, that is truly amazing, because you could give your time to train her in that, man. She'll go far with that in life, whatever she does. Really encouraging. Okay, so here we are on the weekend, about 7 days removed from Easter. Easter is a big time of the year for our movement and our kingdom, just for God's kingdom overall. As people celebrate the rise of Christ, victory for us, death no longer has authority over us, which is such good news. But I wanted to always talk about, my concern always about after Easter. After, you know, a lot of times when you have a great victory or you accomplish something great, you tend to get lax and kind of go back to your same old habits, in your same old way. But I don't think God wanted us to do that. And I think sometimes we forget that. God says, no. Our role is so that you can still build some great things in life. There's a purpose for why you are still here. You know, and this morning I wanted to talk about rise up to build. I think it's so important. And I look at Jesus, you know, he went to the cross, suffered in the garden, he was humiliated, he was emotionally abused, he was mentally abused, he was physically abused, not only by the Pharisees and non-believers, but by his closest friend. He endured and he suffered all of that, yet he still rose from the grave. You know, and I think about, man, you know, I would have died and say, I'm just going home with God, okay, I did what I had to do. I'm entitled to going home and sitting next to God on the throne. I ain't doing nothing else wrong. You know, want to go home and complain a little bit. But that was not Jesus' mindset. He's like, no. That was only the first part of the mission to accomplish. I've got to finish the rest of the mission. And it's amazing because God knows us as humans. He knows how we are. He knows how we're going to respond. He knows that when we take a hit, some of us can tend to stay down, stay depressed, and we stay too long. But Jesus said, no, I gotta raise up and I gotta go back. I gotta make sure that they're staying focused, you know. In life, we experience a lot. Let's just face it. In life, we experience a lot. Some of it's self-inflicted, some of it not. And really, at this point, you get to a certain age, you're like, I don't care whether I did it to myself or not. I just don't want to experience nothing else no more. Lord, I just want to be good. Can we just be good? You know. But we experience a lot of things such as great times, good times, times are bad. Some great friendships. We've had some great friendships in life. And we've had some not so great friendships that we don't care to remember. But the Lord has a way of saying, I may need you to go back and tell that person that you didn't have a great friendship with them. Man, what a challenge. You've got to overcome you and how you feel about that individual. We've had some great jobs, some great employment opportunities, and then we've had some bad jobs that we're like, Lord, it's taking me too long to get me out of this job here because I do not. Man, we have experienced some great foods in life. A lot of us have experienced tasting food, different restaurant, everything. And then we've had some food that's like, not buy that, not cook that, not go for that place. We've experienced these things in life, you know. We have become passionate about certain things, such as stores that we like to shop at. For some reason, we think they make the better clothing or provide the better product. certain music. You know, in our younger days, it was just certain music, like that music that we listened to in our younger days, we felt like, that's it. That's it. I don't care what there's nobody else to listen to. That ain't music. What I'm listening to is music. That's what music is. That's how we felt. Like, man, this is it. You need to listen to this. And have you ever allowed somebody to listen to the music that you like, and they have to look at the string like they're just lost, they're puzzled, and they're like, what is this? You know, what do you have to listen to? And you're like, you don't get it. You don't get it. This is the joy. This is the music that's going to change our thing. This is how passionate we are about music to pass certain things in our life. You know, we're passionate about friendships, you know. We all hate to see the fall or the failure of man. We just do. We hate to see man or woman take a fall in life or fail in something. Because it takes such a dramatic toll of identity. So we really hate to see that. You know, we have to think, there was a time in our lives when we wished bad on others. Isn't that crazy? Long before we had this great and magnificent relationship with God that we built, there were times when people upset you, and we just deal with relatives and cousins, for those of you who know about that. You know, we just wish ill will stuff on people. Or if you got in trouble with your parents, now I'm talking about back in my days when I grew up, that was before I even knew who God was, close like this, you know. I want a mom and dad. There was two about the joke. You need to be hit by a Mack truck. I just don't like you right now. I want something happening. It's just this where we were, how we thought. There were times we thought about stuff like that. You know, but now that we know God, guess what? We rise up to build beyond those wicked thoughts and those behaviors. That's what we're working on every day. Even now that we've made a commitment as disciples, our focus is, I need to work on building up a better relationship. Work on building up closer with God. Work on building up beyond my wicked thoughts and behavior. And although we are building daily, we still face attacks from our enemy. We still face attacks from the enemy who wants to stop your construction of success. The enemy knows what you're building. He sees how well that you're building. And guess what he wants to do? He wants to demolish this tower of success that you're building. He wants to demolish this relationship that looks so good between you and God. He wants it to be gone. He wants to tear it down. That's what the enemy wants to do. And he's going to use anything he can to tear it down. Anything in your weakness, he will use it to tear down your construction of success. He doesn't want you to complete the project, because if you see the project to the end, he knows that victory is truly yours. He knows that you already believe that victory is yours because God tells it's yours. But he knows that when you get to the end, guess what? Victory will truly be yours. And he will use any opportune moment to derail you. Mark chapter 16. So this is after Mark chapter 16. We'll start with verse 19. This is after, I'm not verse 19, I'm verse 9. So this is after Jesus has died on the cross. He's been persecuted. He's gone before the Pharisees, Herod. He's gone before Pontius Pilate. He's gone through all this. He's been crucified on the cross, laid to rest, then he rises up. And so when he raises up, he's gone. But in the meanwhile, Mary Magdalene, some of the other women, they go to the tomb, and they're going to do what they're normally used to doing. And so they go to that tomb, and they don't find him there. Instead, they're in the two angels who reassure them that Jesus is alive and that you are looking for Jesus in the wrong place, because he is not dead. Jesus is a well, and he is alive. And so when they get this message, they're like excited and fired up. And over in Mark 16, verse 9, it says, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. He says, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Verse 12 says, afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. He says, these two young men returned and reported it to the rest of the fellows. It says, but they did not believe them either. Third time is usually the charm. Verse 14 says, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. You know, in order to rise up to Bill, the first point we need to focus on is we need to rise above disbelief. We've all had somebody tell us something, and we just found it very hard to believe. We found it just impossible to believe. We've been there. Or we've shared something with somebody that was just so amazing, so miraculous, and you can see that they look at you like, I just don't believe you. You know, we think we'd have been better than those 12 who followed Jesus. But I don't know. I don't know. They walked with Jesus. They saw the miracles. Man, they saw the things that Jesus did. They watched Jesus walk on the water. They watched Jesus heal many of people. Feed 5,000. And then when the ladies come and tell them, look, he's alive. Even when two of their own, Jesus said, well, there's two of them strolling in the countryside. Jesus said, man, look, let me let them see. The rest of the group still didn't believe. You know, disbelief can stop you from rising above. You know that, don't you? If you practice more of doubting and disbelieving that you can rise above, you will not rise above. See, in order to rise above disbelief, you need to believe in God and in his promises. You need to believe in it. You need to remember what God brought you through. I think this is so key to any of us rising above disbelief. We need to remember what God has brought us through, what prayers he has answered, and what miracles he answered. You have to remember that. We can forget that stuff. We can forget that God did this. We can forget that God brought me through that. We can forget that God healed a family member. We can forget that God had to get my first car. We can forget that, Lord, God keeps the lights on. God has provided food for me. God has allowed me to have employment. God has allowed me to read, learn, and educate it. We forget the things that God has been doing for us and still doing. I think about the story we just seen. Even when I don't think God's working, guess what? He is still working. But we can't forget that. And when we forget that, disbelief creeps in. And when disbelief creeps in, guess what? The enemy is working even harder and harder to tear down your project as you're trying to build up a successful relationship with God. If you're going to rise above belief, you need to remember the things that God has done and what he is doing. You need to open up your eyes, you need to open up your heart to God. Sometimes we can be closed off. We can be so closed off. So closed off to God. You know, if you stop being self-focused, think about it. You can see God and then rise above disbelief to build a righteous life pleasing to God. It's so easy to be self-focused, to be focused in the selfish and just be so selfish. I know that with what Sharice and I have been going through and just really focusing on her, I am learning what it's like to take care of someone. Really. It's one thing to say, oh yeah, I'm head of household and I do all the good stuff. Nah, buddy. Hey, this is truly sleeves rolled up. Late nights, make sure things are right. And just really looking after another person that you have deep love for. You want to make sure that they're taken care of. Really learning just how not to be self-focused on what Sydney needs, but really learning to pour my whole heart out. I think about how God looks at you and I every day. He's just pouring out his heart to you. He has his Holy Spirit on the job working. He has all his angels doing what they need to do. Jesus is doing what he needs to do, constantly working. And even when you pray and say, Jesus, can you go to the Father and tell him I need A, B, C, D? Jesus said, I'll go ask. Let's see what God decides to do. Constantly working, even when we're dropping the ball. Man, I realize like Jesus, I need to be more focused on what other people need versus what I want. I need to be focused on that. There'll be a time for me, but I need to be focused on that. You know, the disciples were stuck in depression. It's crazy. They lost Jesus. They forgot that Jesus told them that, hey, I'm going to have to go through a lot. This needs to happen, but this is so that you can have life. But these guys were stuck in depression. And I'm telling you, when you get stuck in depression, you thought you couldn't believe before. It's even harder to believe the good out of anything. It's just hard to believe anything good can come from anything at all when you are stuck in depression. You know, but Jesus comes along, Jesus helps them out of that depression. He tried the easy way. He always thank the Lord, even in death, she wanted to take care of what she thought her body was going to be. You know, when I read this, I thought about, say, seven demons got driven out of her. There's more context in the gospel in Luke about that. We read other scripture, John, that, hey, she was just caught in adultery, and that was it, and he saved her, but there's more out of it. He drove seven demons out of Mary Magdalene and some other women. But because of this, their gratitude was, where it says they took care of him out of their own means, out of their own need. That's it. Out of their own expense, they took care of Jesus. And so when she thought Jesus was in the tomb, she wanted to do what she had always done. I'm going to still take care of him, whether I do him in life or in death. Rise above disbelief. Have to remember God. You got to. You got to remember God. You got to remember the things that God has done for you and the constant things that God is still doing now. Do you want to rise above to build a successful relationship with God? That's what you got to ask yourself. Guys, we're going to go in the book of Acts over there. You're talking about rising above disbelief. It's so important as a disciple, because as disciples, we have our moments. We have our discouraging moments. But, you know, we need to have the attitude that, you know what, I'm going to lean on the Lord and not my own understanding. I'm going to lean on God, and I am going to be successful. Over in Acts chapter 20, Paul just did so much writing. The Lord used Paul for so many different things. Paul was a passionate man, a very, very passionate man. Love his passion. Acts chapter 20, verse 22 is where we're going to start it. It says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what happened to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing. However, I consider my life worth about is rise up to finish. You know, we can get tired sometimes. I don't care how much energy you think you have, how much strength you think you have. Guess what? We can get tired sometimes and we don't. Sometimes writing that paper gets a little tiring. You just want it to be over. You don't want to finish. But you know what? God is calling us to finish this race. This race involves us building this unique and dynamic relationship with God. This relationship that we have with God is meant to impact others around us. It's meant to let people see a totally different view of life versus what they're seeing every day. I was sharing with Richard earlier, we were talking about, you know, the quarantine and states, everything's going on. You know, where just recently on the news, the city of New York, because that's more of a hot spot, far more than the whole state of Mississippi itself, any other country. But, so now they have a phone number that they can text, and they've told all citizens in New York City that if you see someone breaking the social distancing rule, you need to take a picture and text this. This text will tell us exactly where you are, and they will send the authorities in to enforce the law of no social distancing. I thought, wow, you know, I just looked at that and said, man, and a lot of thoughts go through my head about, okay, where are we at as a society? Where are we getting to? What are we seeing the prelude of? What's happening? And I know we're doing it for a lot of safety. That is so important for a lot of safety. But I think about other states where people are protesting. It's like, what is this going to lead to? You know, I'm going to third world countries. You always see this war, tanks, army, guns like that. I'm thinking, what is this going to lead to? The reason why it's so important for us to finish this race strong and finish building a great relationship with God, because there are people living in fear and they're just going to text out of fear. It may not even be true. They're just going to say, hey, I don't care if you say 6 feet. You 8 feet, they're still too close to me. People are going to do a lot of erratic things because of their thinking. This is why they need to see you and my and our relationship with God. They need to see that. They need some form of hope to see that everything that's happening around them is not the way that God meant for it to be. They need to see that there can be a peace of mind during this whole COVID-19. You know, to finish your race, Holy Spirit to be. You are. You're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to be. You're going to have to embrace and invite and really just take the Holy Spirit in and let God's Holy Spirit direct you and guide you where you need to go. And you have to be careful and make sure it's not your feelings directing you. You have to make sure that it's the Spirit that's moving you. Because Paul said the Holy Spirit has warned him that where he is going, there's going to be some prison time and there's going to be some hardship. And a lot of times we feel like, well, the Spirit's telling me to go here. And everywhere the Spirit's telling you to go, it seems like it's all good, easy, and comfortable. That's not how God's Spirit works. God needs us to go through a little something. Crazy as it sounds, we need to go through a little something to help others to appreciate life and to realize how much God loves his children in this world. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to move you and to guide you. You need to rise to finish. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to direct you where you must go and where you are needed to be. You are needed in a lot of places throughout your city, throughout your neighborhood. You are just needed. But are you willing to allow God's Holy Spirit to direct you where you must go, to direct you where you are needed? You need to allow this Holy Spirit, you need to be faithful and active during hardship and in times of peace. It just seemed like yesterday life was good. People were going to taking trips to the beach, taking trips to Disneyland, watching football, watching basketball, having friends over. How am I going to the lake and swimming? Going fishing. It just seemed like yesterday that was the norm. Right now we're in a little bit of hardship. It is hardship. Social distancing is driving people crazy. It's driving people to be very rebellious and say, I don't care. They when I see them, I think about the attitudes like, I was listening to a song say, this reminds me of an old James Brown song. No static, don't start none, won't be none. And I'm looking like, guess what these people are looking like, we're not moving, you're going to have to come and get us. You know, you don't start none, won't be none. It's like, this is just their attitude and their behavior. It's just, wow. But you know, we need to be faithful as disciples during these times of hardship. Social distancing is hard. It is challenging. But we were made for this. You were made for this. How are you going to be during this time? Social distancing. You know, we need to be passionate about the gospel, God's message to the world. You need to be passionate about it. If you're not passionate about passing on God's message to the world, then you and I and the world don't have a chance. You need to be passionate about spreading the gospel. You need to be driven to live a life worthy of the calling. You got to think, God, why do I have to live a life worthy of the calling? Can I just live peacefully? Can I just keep to myself? Can I just not, God, just wait for you to come? But God says we need to live a life worthy of the gospel. Paul says in verse 24, however I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. That needs to be our in our soul. Amen. That needs to be loved. My life is worthless. That's what I need to get. My life is just worthless. If I'm not fighting for the Lord, if I'm not on the Lord's team, helping to fight for his mission, his will, helping. Allow God's Spirit to guide you so that you can continue to build up and finish this life strong. When you rise up and finish, you can let God's Holy Spirit guide you. Guys, finally, over in verse 28, go there. Just rise up to build. You got to look, yes, he said, where am I at? Rise up, where am I at? I was looking at a brother. Him and his wife was on Zoom. They were having a Zoom celebration party. And so I was friends on Facebook. And I was like, God, there's a lot of people on Zoom. And she just got her doctorate in nursing practice. And she was just jumping all on the couch and she's celebrating. They blowing horns. And he's like, you go ahead, baby. You do what you want. You go ahead. And I'm like, they're having a lot of fun. But, I said, man, how they were just celebrating that, you know. And I thought, man, that, you know, he is really letting her know. He's so proud of her. So proud of her, the way that she focused and she fought and she built up. She built at that particular education level to get where she was. But in short, I thought about Charisse. Because she asked me, she said, what is she celebrating? I said, she got a doctorate. She said, what is that? And I thought about Charisse in the middle of her doctorate last year. You know, like, man. It was interrupted, you know, because what happened. But I also thought, yeah, she's coming back slowly every day. I'm looking at shoes. She's getting stronger every day. Mm-hmm. She's getting better every day. We had a grandson over yesterday. You know,
was some coffee involved, man. That was a busy little boy. But I thought, man, she's coming back. She's coming back. Because she kept talking about that doctor. Oh, whatever we need to do, Lord, whatever we need to do to help her get stronger, take her time and get back up. And I want to get back to where she can still achieve those goals and make them happen. But we did have that grandboy yesterday, and he just ran this house. So I was like, all right, we're good. He was a lot of energy and a lot of fun. But we got to help other people to get to where you need to get to, guys. Verse 28, next, chapter 20. So Paul's still going on. Paul's laying out some great charges here. And what we're talking about in verse 28, it says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. He says, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. He says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit to you, God, and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Final point, guys, we need to rise up to the charge. Paul has given a divine and graceful charge here for all of us. First point, he says, you know what? You need to look after yourself. It's hard to help anybody else if you're not taking care of yourself. Paul says, keep watch over yourself. And this is from a spiritual point of view. This is from you knowing God's word, being in his word, not only physically and emotionally, but he says, watch yourself. Take care of yourself. He says, look after each other. He says, now if you take care of yourself, I need you to look after each other. You need to look after the flock also, because the flock needs you. Because guess what? I can't see everything. That's why God put all of you in my lives. And it's vice versa. You can't see everything that's happening around, every attack that's coming in. That's why God has put other disciples in your life. He said, you got to look after yourself, and he charged you to look after each other. He says, you became an overseer. You might say, well, an overseer is somebody in a higher position. But let me explain this to you. You became an overseer when you became a disciple. That's right. You are your brother and sister's people. When the day you said Jesus was Lord, you became an overseer. You may not be an overseer of hundreds from a standpoint of where we have seen things organized where, like, there's a leader here and a leader there. But when you became a disciple, you did become an overseer. You see things going on that a leader could never see going on. Man, you are your brothers and sisters. Whether you are a shepherd of 100 or 1, you have the responsibility to give spiritual and biblical guidance to one another. That is your responsibility. It does not matter. You know what? You need to always be on your guard. Paul warns us, always be on your guard. You know why? There's a scripture that speaks about what? The lion never sleeps. It just never does. You need to always be on your guard. Always looking out for those who are going to attack the flock. He makes it clear. And a lot of us see this in our day. He said there are people come in and distort the truth of God, and they're going to pull, not strange, not lost, but they're going to pull disciples away. Man, lead them to more grief, depression, and destruction. You gotta always be in your guard. But you know, you can only be in your guard if you're constantly building up your relationship with God, understanding God's truth, so that you can weigh everything against God's word. That's the only way you're gonna be in your guard. Stay close to God and listen to his word. Paul says that down in verse 32, he says, now I commit you. Paul says he's gonna commit you. Not God, he commits us, he says, to God and to the word of his grace. Paul said, I commit you. Stay close to God and his words. Man, so that he may build you up for the ultimate purpose of acquiring your heavenly inheritance someday. Isn't it amazing? God wants to see you in heaven. Paul wants to see you in heaven. Paul said, I commit you to God and his word. Are you committed to God and his word? Are you committed to giving God and His word attention every day. Just like oxygen. Are you sold out to giving God attention every day? His word is your day. Because His words, they're life-saving. They're life-saving for our soul. You know, I looked at something today, early this morning, you know, especially a little bit, and I was seeing about how just people are just passing away from this COVID-19 and just things that are just happening with it. And, you know, my heart hurts for them. But I think, man, they want peace. They want healing. Of course, they want loved ones back. But a news anchor guy said, you know what? He says when the older folks in the nursing home started passing away, they said that was more understandable because they knew that their body had aged, whether sickness or not, and that this sickness was more hard on their body because of their age. But when young folks started passing away, the healthy folks, that's what really started baffling them. Because, like, he said, our life has a cycle that, you know, you grow old and, of course, things slow down, organs are not strong as they used to be, and it's unstable when they're young. I remember seeing one lady, she was sharing about how her husband had got COVID-19. And, he went to the hospital and she was like, you sure you want to go there? There's sickness there. You want to go there? It's a young couple. He said, yeah. So he went there and he came home and she's like, okay, he's home. He's relieved. And she said, the last thing she remembered was he still wanted to isolate himself even though he was on the downside of it. And, she said she could sit here and breathe. She woke up the next morning and he had passed away. Young guy. 28. You know, we need to rise up to really, really be involved in our community. We just do. We need to rise up somehow, somewhere. People need confidence. People need a lot of confidence during this time. They need words of healing. And the bad thing about it is, some people want to hug, but we just can't hug. And they're afraid. Just can't hug. Now, there's somebody that's like, forget it. I'm going to give you this hug. Jesus is Lord. And I'm just going to go with it. Amen. That's their decision. But according to the law and everything that's happening right now, and CDC guideline, they say social distance. But, you know, sometimes you may can't give a hug, but man, sit there, I vision you sitting on one side of the curb, sitting on the other side of the curb, just having a conversation. People need calm. They need for you and I to rise up and give it here. For you and I to rise up and give what peaceful word, encouragement, where we can give. They need for us to rise up, even if it means just sitting. And we're just talking about why does this bird does this or why does this cat run around like that. It just needs us to rise up to be out there. That's it. Guys, we need to rise up to build not only a great relationship with God, but a great relationship with other people. We need to rise up to build some great and meaningful, purposeful relationship with people who need us. Nothing has changed. Everybody doesn't want the gospel. Whether it's in times of peace or hardship. But there are people even more right now who want it real bad. They wanted it before, but now they're dealing with something. They want it now. I want to charge you guys to rise up above disbelief. To rise up above disbelief. I want you to rise up and finish strong. Finish this life that our Lord has given us. Finish it strong. Allow yourself to be guided by God's Holy Spirit and pour it out. Like Paul, pour it out. And finally, what Paul is saying here, this is only a small amount of charges that God constantly gives us in the scriptures. But rise up to the charge of looking after yourself, looking after the flock, taking care of one another, being on guard for the enemy, because he's always on the attack. Being careful of sin, because sin is always crouching at your door. Rise up to the charge. Let's go fight. Let's fight wisely. Let's fight with discernment. Let's fight with knowledge. Let's fight with understanding. Man, but let's fight with the love of God deep in our soul. Let's fight to help people. Let's fight. Let's fight. Let's not grow this church and say, oh, we got 100 numbers. That's the wrong purpose. Instead, let's grow this church and say, wow, we've got a ton of men and women of God. I can't even begin to tell you how many we got. All I know is we got faithful, solid women and men of God. Mm-hmm. Guys, thank you so much. This has been great. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to open everything up for some plus chance.